There's nothing better to me than the prop bets on Sunday. They make every single thing you can imagine available to you, from, you know, attempts to yards over to first touchdown to MVP to halftime show pets to the, you know, obviously I always bet tails every year because everybody knows it doesn't fail. But joining us now is Bob from Crossing Broad. You can follow him on Twitter at BW Crossing Broad. Do I have that right, Bob?
Yes, you do. What's happening, man?
What's up, man? I've interacted with you a bunch on Twitter. Good to actually talk to you on the show this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I know you guys over at Crossing Broad have done a lot over the last year with the developing legal gambling markets to really dive headfirst into this. And I know you guys have put the work in, you in particular. I guess you are the degenerate expert of Crossing Broad.
I guess you could say that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Degenerate expert of Crossing Broad.
Yeah, yeah, and I know you guys have a big New Jersey sports book kind of prop page up on the website. And you've done a lot of research here on the props. I'll tell you the one that caught my eye. There's two early on that caught my eye. One is Todd Gurley MVP odds at plus 1,000. To me, that's just a really good number to have on a hell of a player. I know more likely than not, you know, your quarterbacks are going to win the MVP. But Todd Gurley at plus 1,000 has my eye a little bit. And the other one, Bob, that has my eye is the winner of the game will win by exactly 3 points. I think I saw it as somewhere in the plus 450 to plus 500 range. And I believe the Patriots, every Super Bowl they've won has been by pretty much exactly 3 points. So those are two with some high odds that, that caught my eye early from afar. What are some of your favorites? What do you think of those two? And, you know, what's something you're going to be putting down some money on tomorrow?
Yeah, well, let's talk about your Gurley prop at first. I mean, you know, he's an integral part of what they do, obviously. And when he has at least 75 yards rushing, they're undefeated this season. When he has 125 total yards from scrimmage, they're undefeated this season. So I think that there's definitely a strong correlation between Gurley having a big game and the Rams winning.
I mean, obviously there's risk, Bob, with the injury. We don't really know where he is, which probably goes into his odds a little bit. Yeah, but yeah.
Obviously, C.J. Anderson being a big part of what they've done in recent weeks. But I expect if the Rams are going to win this game, I think Gurley's going to be a huge part of it. And I think that the 2 weeks of rest will either have gotten him right mentally or physically. Whatever the issue was in the NFC Championship game, I just can't see him being that ineffective again. So if you like the Rams to win the game, yeah, I think that there's a strong chance, and especially at those type of odds, that Gurley's a good play.
Yeah, what do you think about my winner by exactly 3 points plus 500 odds?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at
this is when you get a little nuts.
Super Bowl, I mean, you're really kind of you're zeroing in on one specific outcome.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you look at their history, I mean, every game's kind of been decided by a one possession, and certainly a few of them by field goals, especially early in those first few Super Bowls with Brady and Belichick. So yeah, I mean, you know, good plays there, and obviously some value if you roll with those. I can't stress to you enough how much time we've spent looking at.
Yeah, you guys have put in the work,
blow
man.
Blow your mind. Yeah, we took like a look at the coin toss, and you know, everyone says that it's like a 50-50 proposition. You know, I would never bet the coin toss, but that's
I bet it every year, man.
People are betting the coin toss. There's always that one guy when you're at your Super Bowl party, you're looking around,
yep.
And he's way too upset that it was tails. You know, so
yep.
I mean, it's something that we looked at, and yeah, I mean, historically, it really is a 50-50 proposition. It's hit tails 27 of the 52 Super Bowls, so it comes out to roughly 52%. But there are some. There are some interesting correlations with the or lack of correlations, really, with the result of the coin toss and then who wins the game. And the Patriots are actually only 3-10 in their 10 Super Bowl appearances with the coin toss, but they've lost all three games in which they actually won the toss, which I think is kind of amazing.
That is.
You know, and some other things that just jumped out at us with the coin toss real quick. Tails has hit 4 of the last 5 years. It's never won 5 straight years consecutively. And really, the coin toss in general has been pretty streaky. The last time it alternated over a 3-year span where it was like heads, tails, heads,
yeah,
was Super Bowl 40 to Super Bowl 42. So you're going back over a decade. So I don't know, man. You know, I look at it, you know, the Patriots are going to call heads. You have that feeling because it's kind of been out there that's what they're going to call. It's actually off the board at most places now, whether the call is going to be heads or tails, because they are going to call it and they are going to call heads. But I kind of like the idea of going with the Patriots to win the toss and to win the game. I believe that the Patriots are going to win the game. And you can get that at plus 240 payout. You know, I don't
of
know
the
if
toss
to
and the game.
Not, but yeah, to win the toss and the game. I think that they break their over spell on winning the toss, but not being able to win the game. So I like that trend to finally reverse. It's sort of like the roulette theory. It's got to hit sometimes.
Yeah.
So Yeah, I mean, there are good payouts on some of these, but there is no, and one thing I will tell people, there really has not been a correlation, long-term in terms of the team that wins the toss winning the game outright. It's actually only happened 24 of the 52 Super Bowls. So it is a coin toss proposition, quite literally.
Yeah.
So don't go crazy with it, but I think it's fun to play because you hit it, you cycle your money back in,
yep.
You lose, you have plenty of time to chase.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I know it looks like, the Action Sport Network is an app I use on my phone occasionally to kind of check public money. I know it's not the most accurate of all of them out there, but according to them, I think about last night, 78% of the public money is on the Patriots. What are you looking at in terms of where money's going in terms of spread for this game? What sense have you guys made of the actual spread, -2.5, and what makes sense to you there?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, I'm a little concerned that, you have this strong of a lean by the money at this
point,
75-80%, and it hasn't gotten to 3. And
yeah.
I do think that's a little bit troublesome. I will say, however, though, Super Bowl 49 and Super Bowl 51, 60% or more of the money was on New England, and they did win both of those games. Now, obviously, they were outrageous outcomes, determined late, won in overtime. But the Patriots have been here in the Super Bowl before with a lot of money backing them, and it really hasn't been an issue in those two recent outcomes. So I am a little bit concerned. I don't like being on the same side as 75-80% of the public in such a heavily bet game. But if you take the most recent Super Bowls in which there's been this high of a disparity in the money, it's 2-2. So, I mean, it's not like, hey, run away from it just because the public is on it. And really, if you go back over the last 15 years, we've seen that when the point spread moves in favor of a certain team, meaning like they go from a 1-point favorite to a 3-point favorite, when the money or the line moves towards them, teams have actually been very successful in the postseason. They're hitting it over 55%. So that line shift doesn't necessarily mean that you should run away from the Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, one of my rules as a gambler is typically never get a bet against Bill and Tom, and it takes a lot for me to kind of break from that. But the one of the other theories I have as a gambler is usually if this public hits 75% or higher on one way, I go the opposite. So I'm not going to lie, that Rams thought did kind of creep into my head the past 2 days, where it's, the public is going to be all over the Patriots. And I guess if you put them down on paper, I would say the Rams are probably the more talented team. The problem is the Patriots have a vampire as a quarterback.
Yeah, and I think you just hit the nail on the head, really. I mean, I look at it two different ways. If you would have played this game on a neutral field throughout the course of the season, you would have said the Rams have more top-end talent. They are the better football team. They're playing better football on a more consistent basis. But does Tom Brady get all the way back here again after last season? And is he going to lose to Nick Foles and Jared Goff in successive years?
It's
just hard to get over that hump. And really, that is what I think you're betting on. You're betting on Tom Brady if you're betting on the Patriots because there are a lot of reasons to like the Rams in this game.
Yeah, I was talking to Trey Thomas all week, and he just keeps saying to me, man, do you really think Brady's going to lose 2 Super Bowls in a row? And my answer is no. I don't see it, but, stranger things have happened. Over-under, you see anything that makes sense to you a little bit on the over-under? Any player prop bets jumping out at you?
Yeah, I mean, so in terms of the total, the public and the money really has been on the under. This opened at 58.5 at a lot of books.
Life's too short for unders, Bob.
Yeah, I know. It would have been a historic total. I mean, the previous high is 57. That was Super Bowl 51 with the Falcons and Patriots. But the money has been on the under, and it has now moved down to 56.5, depending on where you're looking. I kind of like the under. I know life's too short to bet.
I know. I just hate betting
I'm
them.
I'm going to be honest with you. If you take the 10 highest total Super Bowls, the over is actually only 3-6-1. When you see these big numbers in this game, there is kind of a reason to like the under. I know you look at it, and there's two kind of suspect defenses, two high-powered offenses, but I sort of like the number to hang around, into the high 40s, low 50s in this game. So if I had to do it, which I don't know that I will,
but
if I had to do it, I'd probably roll with the under. In terms of props, one thing I want to just hit on real quick, the Patriots have really started fast this postseason in both games against the Chargers and the Chiefs. But that has not been the case historically in the Super Bowl. They've only scored 3.
I saw that. This blew my mind.
You almost do like a double take. You're like, there's no way that's possible.
Yeah.
They've only scored 3 points in their previous 8 Super Bowls under Brady and Belichick. They did get that field goal last year against the Eagles, and they did have 140 yards of total offense in that game. So it's not like that they come out and sputter all the time early in these games. I got to say, I like them to score a touchdown finally. Like, there's just no way that this guy, as well as they're playing offensively, is going to come out and lay another dud in the first quarter. So you can do that one of two ways. You can actually get it at over 6.5, the Patriots, in the first quarter.
Okay.
You're going to have to pay a little bit for that. It's minus 125. But if you actually like the Patriots to win the first quarter, something that might be worth looking at, specifically because the Rams have been bad this postseason early. The Cowboys led 7-3 at the end of the first in the divisional round, and then the Saints jumped out, obviously, 13-0 in the championship game. You can get the Patriots minus a half point around plus 127, 128 right now, depending on where you're getting your odds.
Nice.
So
I like that.
That would be something that I would look at as well. It's kind of like the they've got to break through at some point type of series.
And if you followed them in the playoffs, you've seen, I believe, both games, they marched right down the field and scored on their opening drives in both games, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And Belichick just kind of, you know, seemed to get the running game going, seemed to have the perfect game plan in mind, and I believe they scored touchdowns on both opening drives. So yeah, that's definitely one I'll keep my eye on for sure. What else has jumped out at you? Do you jump into any of the ridiculous halftime bets? Do you bet the national anthem over under? You got any intel on Gladys Knight?
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about Gladys Knight. Kyle actually was the guy that did the Gladys Knight research. He came across a YouTube video from 1991 when she was 57 years old.
Nice.
And he did it in a minute and 38. The line right now is kind of set between like 147 and 150. 9 of the last 12 years, the anthem has actually stayed under, but it has gotten up to like 2.5 minutes. I think it was Alicia Keys that did it in like 235.
That's my girl, Alicia.
Yeah. So, I mean, I look at it and I go, is Gladys Knight, if you really want the scientific look at it, is Gladys Knight adding 7 or 8 seconds to her anthem 27 years after she did it in a minute and 37?
I would have to say no.
I don't know. Like, so I don't know if she has those kind of pipes at this point, but we're going to find out.
Yeah,
so
I don't know if she's a glory hog, you know what I mean?
If I had to do the anthem and I had the stopwatch out, and everyone's freaking out because we do that every year,
yep.
If I were putting money on it, I would probably go under, and I know Kyle liked the under on Gladys Knight as well.
All right, that's good intel by you guys. How about Travis Scott being shirtless at the halftime show? You guys got any research on
that? I got to be honest with you. I'm getting into my early 30s. I'm not that hip on Travis Scott anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
So, I know Astroworld's a thing, but that's about all I know. Late 30s guy.
Maroon 5 isn't really my thing either, so yeah. I don't have too much on terms of the halftime show for you.
Okay, and any other, you know, like anybody on first touchdown props? Is there any other kind of stat lines you've that have jumped out at you? Any Julian Edelman over, Gronk's over, anything like that?
I like that you brought up the first touchdown. There's an interesting prop that we see at DraftKings. It's will the first touchdown of the game be scored by someone with a uniform number over or under?
I've seen those.
And a half.
Yeah, they're fun.
And it's super interesting. The first, in Super Bowl history, 39 times, 75% of the time, it's been scored by a guy with a jersey number 27 or higher. But in recent seasons, specifically 4 of the last 5 years, it's been scored by a guy wearing a lower uniform number. And I think a lot of that has to do is that you're starting to see receivers now, not have numbers in the 80s. You're starting to see guys like Alshon Jeffrey wearing 17. And Brandon Cooks in this game, I believe, is 12. Edelman's 11. Robert Woods is 17. So there are some lower numbers there. Anthony Sanfilippo, who covers the Flyers for us, actually dug into this one a little bit. And he kind of broke it down. Like, who are the 18 most likely guys to score in this game, and what are their uniform numbers? And the lean is actually still over 26.5, the higher jersey numbers. Guys like Todd Gurley, C.J. Anderson, obviously Gronkowski. And so if you look at it, there's like a 10-6 disparity once you remove both Goff and Brady. So even though the under on that has been hot lately, I would still probably roll with the over if I were going to do that, even though it's juiced at minus 134. So not a great, not great odds, not great payouts there. But, just looking at some
awesome.
Pure odds of this specific game, yeah, we'll go with that.
All right, awesome. And I know you guys have an article up on the website. You can check it out. You guys have done a lot of work on this for the big game. And we all appreciate your hard work. So definitely check that out at BW Crossing Broad on Twitter. Bob, thanks for some time this morning and your work on the lines. And let's hopefully make some money tomorrow.
Sounds good, man. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Take care.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.